Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ross Carl here with James Parsons and Brad Webber in the Lockdown 2 edition. Super Rugby is over and we're at home, well, like we always are, I suppose, anyway, but not allowed to really do anything. Chipper, first up, you guys at the Blues. I mean, you were supposed to have the big match, a full house to finish a great season for you guys, and what?
Yeah, it was weird. Like, obviously, we'd had our weeks sort of started normally, and then, you know, for everyone out of the blue, it came, and then we sort of were pretty confident hopefully we could get the game somewhere else. There was sort of talk of a doubleheader somewhere down in Dunners or moving it maybe to Hamilton. But in the end, because we were in the Auckland bubble, so to speak, we weren't allowed to leave. So everyone tried everything to get the game going, but it just wasn't meant to be. So we found out Saturday morning, what was going to happen, that it was cancelled, obviously. But I suppose it was pretty clear once Auckland stayed in level 3 on Friday. Did she announce it? I think Friday afternoon. It's pretty clear that it was going to be pretty tough for the game to go ahead.
So what did you guys do to try to make, you know, prepare for a game at home? Like, you obviously can't do any team sessions or anything like that through the week.
Yeah, well, I think just because we've been through it before, there's so many online tools. The coaches sort of sent out specific things around, you know, opportunities and areas that we need to work on. And then the trainers sent out like a rugby specific fitness program that the boys had to tick off, that, you know, so the numbers matched what we'd normally do on that second to last day and captain's run day. And then obviously if we were going to play, it just meant when we had captain's run on Saturday, it would just be a little bit more intense. But if anything, because we're so deep into the season, freshening up a lot of banged up bodies, that it probably wouldn't have affected, you know, the actual game too much.
Yeah. What about you, Brad? Obviously, you guys had that last week off. So, you know, what happened with the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, we're still in relative freedom down here in Hamilton. So life's good down here. We were lucky. We were able to have a couple of days together as a team, just over a few beers and a bit of socialising. And also we had a couple of days worth of reviewing the whole year as well. So we were able to get a lot of that stuff out of the way, luckily enough for us, and then just been kicking back the last sort of few days before getting back into a bit of training this week before whatever happens next week with that North versus South, or whether we have to head back to Mitre 10, we'll see what happens.
So what was that review like?
It was pretty brutal, pretty honest. To be fair, it was actually bloody good. No one sugarcoated anything. We all were pretty honest, and I think everybody looked at themselves in the mirror first, which was pleasing to see as well. There was no real finger pointing. It was just how can we help each player, each area, each coach and management get better. So it was really well run, actually. It's probably one of the best reviews I've been a part of. So, yes.
Is it one of those ones where you had to look deep into the mirror, or, you know, were things not actually as bad as it may seem with a winless season?
You did have to look pretty deep in the mirror, I think, and sort of think about where what went wrong and where you can get better. But what's been great with our management staff is they've been really open to hearing our views and have real confidence that, you know, what we give back and review that they'll take on board, and vice versa as well. The feedback that coaches and management have given back to each of us players, I think, will take on board really well. And in a funny sort of way, I think we'll be better for this.
Chip, for you guys, it must have been weird. Like, they had their wrap up, they got to kind of say goodbye in a way, but you guys, you weren't really able to do it at all.
Yeah, it was weird. Obviously, we had the bye the week before, so we got our awards and stuff like out of, well, not out of the way, but got it done in that bye week. But because we still had a game and obviously a pretty big game, it was, you know, pretty tame and, you know, did a bit of a review, part of our review, but we finished off some of that review today via Zoom. But we didn't really get a chance to obviously get together with the lads after the final fixture and, you know, send off guys that have given a lot to the club. You know, I suppose one that comes to mind for us is Matt Duffy. He's been massive, you know, over the last 5 years, and he loves his social gatherings. So it was disappointing not to be able to send him off in the style he would have enjoyed.
Well, what kind of style is that?
Well, he's from the NRL, Ross. You know? Oh. he just enjoys his lads' time, and he's our sheriff as well. So, because, you know, when you're the sheriff and you go out everyone all year, you normally cop a bit of flack. But I think he likes to get into people during the year just purely for that, so that there's some good banter at the end of the year. But no, it's obviously gutting because, you know, we're not going to get a chance. Yeah, because he's got to head up to Japan and fulfill that contract. And there's another more other guys not coming back. But, yeah, it is what it is. And you know, I think we'd probably be more grateful that we got 7 games in rather than none and having to do something over Zoom anyway. So, nah, a bit of tongue-in-cheek there.
And now it's what? Get ready for Mitre 10 for the people outside of Auckland and the people in Auckland. Wait, Brad, you head down to the Bay there?
Yeah, I think it all depending on what happens with that North versus South fixture. I'm sort of waiting to hear whether I've made the South squad. And if I have, I'll head to that. And if not, yeah, head down to Hawke's Bay. I think quite a few of the lads are starting to disperse now. So I think because kickoff for that is, was it second week of September?
Seventh,
so
it's, yeah. No, I think it's the seventh
first week
of September.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's coming around pretty quick. So yeah, boys are going to have to get down there ASAP, I think. So. Yeah,
bit of fun heading down to the Bay for a couple of weeks before it all starts.
Oh, it's like going on holiday when you head back to Hawke's Bay, mate. Sun's shining, it's nice and warm, very chilled sort of place in the country. So I always enjoy getting back to the Bay.
So home cooked meals?
Unfortunately not. My parents moved to Mount Maunganui about 6 or 7 years ago, so unless my little sister has all of a sudden become an outstanding cook, I'm getting no home cooking when I head back down to Hawke's Bay. I have to go find a flat to live in with a few of the lads, which is a bit disappointing.
Have to follow Otere Black to the Bay of Plenty, mate.
No chance. That is one place I will never play my rugby, mark my words.
That's a good pickup for them, Chip.
Yeah, oh, mate, it's massive. Otere was on the market. I was keen to get him to Harbour, but obviously with Gats there and that, he wanted to head somewhere else. But, oh, look, the form he's in, the confidence he's got in his own game, it's a really good pickup for them. They'll be pumped, and they're in the premiership this year as well, because they won it last year. So they're looking good. A lot of their players are in form, so, you know, we had a couple in there in Kurt Eklund and Aaron Carroll. So I think they've got a few other boys from the Chiefs that go a hundy, like Mitch Karpik. So they'll be looking pretty good making the step up this year.
Yeah, interesting pickup as well, Oatsy going there, because they've got Caleb Trask on their books as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Clayton sort of fits both of them in, whether Trask goes and plays at fullback or, Tutoido is signed at the Bay as well, so they're going to have a really exciting backline for sure. I'm hoping that because Clayton's going to be the Chiefs coach next year, that maybe Oatsy just on the bench, mate. Trask to get the time.
Yeah, mate, he's got to win, though, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
Caleb Trask, I couldn't believe seeing him in person. He looks about 12 years old.
He acts like it, too. Yeah, he's baby face, but I'll tell you what, he's a tough little bugger. He throws himself in on defence, you know. He really won the respect of a few of our loose forwards pretty quickly, because he doesn't shy away from that sort of stuff. So don't let the looks fool you.
It's a good amount of experience for him too, going through that campaign and learning under Aaron.
Yeah, I think that'll be the biggest part is just seeing how Cruds prepares for games and how he runs things at team trainings and on at game time as well. So he'll certainly be better for it. He's a little bit shy early on, but He certainly found his voice towards the back end of the season. I think Crud's had a massive impact on that. So, yeah, that's where you just really can't put a price on experienced guys like that coming back and helping out young fellas like Caleb. It'll be great for him.
You're pretty fired up for the Bay. I mean, there's a good chance with, you know, who knows when Test footy's going to come. You're going to probably get a decent season with them, maybe.
Yep. Yeah. I absolutely love getting back and playing for the Magpies. So, you know, getting to play with, you know, a lot of my my schoolboy mates and playing in front of my old friends back there too. So, fires me up getting to play at McLean Park. And we've got a nice wee side. There's a few young fellas have been around for a few years. A lot of those Hastings boys guys that were meant to be really good out of school. We've sort of had three years of senior footy now. So we'll be making hopefully a pretty good nudge at the championship.
Some solid recruitment from Hastings boys, eh?
They should be looking more at Napier boys personally, I think, but we'll take them.
Napier men's, isn't it?
Yes, sorry, yes. Asterisk, Napier men's. Well picked up, Chipper. Appreciate that.
What about Harbour? When do you guys get back into camp?
Well, we sort of got to stay in level three, so we will pretty much as we go get to level two, then we can get together, but it's all training at home. Gym gear's been handed out. So a little bit of a stop start for the boys here, you know, Auckland and Harbour. But it's just a little bit more adversity to sort of get our backs against the wall and come out swinging in round one.
Are you going to be swinging in round one?
No, I won't be. No. Still chipping away with the old concussion. So just got to play it safe, make sure that I'm completely symptom-free before playing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, we have plenty to say there, Ross. Don't you worry about that.
Actually, there are some chatty hookers, eh? Like, Dane's got plenty to say. Who else is it?
Ash Dixon gets about every penalty overturned, the amount of chat he does to the ref.
Because he captains our side, obviously, at Hawke's Bay too, and sometimes I feel like Dicko takes it a bit too far with his wing.
Oh, mate, he's a wordsmith. He's a wordsmith. I don't know, he gets that many overturned.
Yeah.
I just get told to bugger off to the line. Oh, okay, sweet.
Have you got it or you don't? Can you learn to overturn a ref? Or some people just got a wee knack?
No, you can't. Oh, I think so. I think you can. You get more ballsy as you get more experience.
Mm. Yeah. Some people do seem to have a natural ability, though, as well. You definitely can, but some people, you're just like, man, how the hell did Dicko, TJ, your classics.
Speaking about Dixon, Landers Canes, obviously no crowd down there, but geez, that was a spectacle. Did you guys enjoy that?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, two teams that love running the ball with some exciting players in amongst it. It was good stuff. I mean, I actually spoke to Dicko, and he was saying that it was just so weird having no crowd and could literally hear every single call, especially indoors as well. It was like, I suppose it was almost like a post-training run for them, but a good way to send Super Rugby Aotearoa out anyway.
Mate, they look good. They've changed their... If you look at the Highlanders against Crusaders the week before, they went hard at the breakdown. And then, you look at Mitch Hunt's try where they turn over the breakdown. It's like they just sort of thought, oh, it's bugger it. We're just going to throw everything at those two games. They just look such a better side. And the team that normally wins the breakdown will win the game. And because their ability to turn over and score points from far was so, impressive against a Canes side that was running pretty hot. I thought, they showed a lot of, obviously a big occasion and they all fired up. One thing I did think was interesting, though, if you looked at that game and then you looked at the first weekend, just how the breakdown is reffed, man, it's just two different games, So I think if we're going to do it again and stick with these rules, they've got to put a line in the sand and then, stick with it, because I think when it, it sort of softened, and I'm sure they'll do their review as well. But then it's like, gets confusing. You get hesitant. But it was until the Highlanders were like, this is the last game, nothing to lose. But you can't do that for a whole season. So there needs to be a balance there. So it's just like, man, everyone was flying back in again, which I'm all for. But we've just got to get the balance right so that it's really clear on what you can do and can't do.
So it wasn't necessarily that players had adapted, it's that the refs had let them go back to their old school things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a bit of both. Like, players definitely had to adapt because we got pinged off the park early. It was just from like a viewing point of view. Like, I just went back and had a look at some of the penalties that were early on, and they said they got some wrong, but it didn't look like, especially like the turnover ones and the counter ruck ones. Yeah, I think, man, it was your guys' game, wasn't it, against the Highlanders? Like, yep. They'd touch the ball and get a penalty.
Yeah, and then that one that you just, like you just said, like people all of a sudden are having to survive the clean out again.
Yeah.
Before, all you had to do was literally pick it up a little bit and you won the penalty. So it was sort of going back to pre-COVID.
The old way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like that way because I think what suits the New Zealand style, and maybe that's happened naturally. But as I said, I'm sure they review, but it was just interesting because it creates, it just, the importance of the breakdown just is like massive in terms of winning that collision. And pretty much the Chiefs changed the game in 2012-13, the way they, you know, dealt with the breakdown. And then from then on, it's sort of been such a key point.
So when you head into Mitre 10 Cup, are you expecting, obviously there's a wider pool of refs as well, are you expecting similar interpretations?
I'm not sure. Have they been given a directive for Mitre 10 Cup as well?
No, it was just super, but it might continue on. Because they're both New Zealand-based comps, and it was a decision by the union to do, because it was all based on the coaches' feedback as well. Because I think some of them have been good, especially like the offside line, and you know, allowing teams to play. Like, people want to see those long-range tries; they want to see that style of footy. But I still think the breakdown's always going to be a niggly one. Like, it's impossible to ref consistently, and as you say, there's going to be less experienced refs, and then that's where, you know, you're going to have to get your preparation right as a team, understanding the ref you're going into the game with, so that you know the boundaries you can push and you can't.
Yeah. Brad, do you think much about that? I mean, how much do you think about a ref before you go into a game?
You think about it a fair bit. Usually you have sort of maybe one coach that has done a little bit of background or research on sort of where that guy has most of his calls most of his penalties from, where he goes hard, and so 100% that's going to have to continue. And certainly with a bigger range of refs, you're going to have to find little areas that you really need to focus on that week, knowing that this guy sort of pings, you know, for a lot for on defensive teams or the opposite. So it will take a little bit, but it's going to be, I imagine. So. Just so I'm clear now, did that directive come from NZ Rugby? So it wasn't from the refs, so they asked that from the...
From the Super Rugby coaches were all...
So they'll obviously review that now and see how they like it. Because, I mean...
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say they'll keep it.
They'll probably keep some of it for sure. I think you do still need to survive the clean out a little bit. I think you got to give their...
I reckon that's the beauty of it, because the guys that can survive the clean out, that's what makes you, that's your point of difference.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
You know, like I think like every player has a role, like a key role in a team, and some guys have made a career out of that. And I think if you get into the zone of, you know, just touching the ball and stuff, then everyone can sort of get away with it. I think you've got to absorb at least one clean out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, In that first game, Damian McKenzie got two turnovers just by touching the ball. So that probably says enough.
But then it takes away from guys like Bo Scheer, who, you know, potentially could make 10 to 12 years living out of being that good at that one thing.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, and his stats dropped like big time.
Yeah, but I reckon...
Then they came back. Back end, last couple of games, he was back into it because... The interpretations they let you sort of, they made you have to survive the clean out a little bit more. So it was interesting that at the start he did drop off, but then they came back.
But also, like, because he was such a force before COVID, like, you know what it's like when you play Pocock and that, you're like, I want to run at that guy, make him tackle, because you don't want him being the one hovering. So, like, teams were going in with a plan of, like, if we can make Lachlan tackle, then, you know, it's going to be one of the other Lucys which isn't as effective as him.
Yep.
So that's why his stats dropped heaps. It wasn't due to his inefficiency. It was just teams were like, he's too big a threat. You've got to make him tackle so that... Because, man, he is just the best at, like... like from a rest point of view, they should just take a picture and that's what it should look like. If it doesn't look like that, then you shouldn't get the turnover. Because his feet are basically underneath him. Like, he literally is holding his own weight the whole time, whereas some guys' feet are like...
He's a deep squatter.
It's incredible, mate. It's, the way he absorbs the hip cleanouts too, I'm like, oh, I get nervous for his hips and knees every time.
He's just hyper-flexible. I think he can literally just, he can fit himself into a suitcase.
Yeah, hey, look, let's have a talk about Super Rugby, about form guys and what we're doing heading into this, obviously North-South and possibly... All Blacks. Rugby Pass put out a form team this week. I suppose one of the interesting parts of that team, talking about the breakdown, was Dylan Hunt. They put in Dylan Hunt as the form seven. He was actually pretty superb, especially through the back end of the season as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Dylan's a good link player. He's your traditional seven. Like, he'll tackle his heart out. He'll be good over the ball. And, you know, he's one of those guys that will have those support lines on attack. He's not your Adi Savia, your Duplessis, probably Dalton sort of can go into that power sort of seven bracket as well. So, but he's just sort of, you know, similar mould to Sammy Kane, I suppose. He just hits hard and works all day tirelessly for the team, you know.
Yeah. And do you guys like the loose forward makeup there?
Well, I would have liked to have seen at least one chief in that form 23. There's zero, and I mean, fair enough, probably, but maybe if we could find a spot for Lachlan Boshier, that would be good. But it is hard to argue with some of them, to be fair. I mean, Hoskins Satutu has just been outstanding for you boys up north all year, so tough to argue with. And like you just said about Dylan, I mean, maybe I'd throw Bobby Boshier in for him. That'd be my only change.
Jeez, I hope he doesn't become the new Dwayne Monkley. Like, he's just too good a player, eh? And geez, everyone's talking Duplessis, everyone's talking about all these other people for All Blacks. You know, man, this guy deserves at least a game.
Yeah,
somewhere along the way.
I think so. I think he's 100% earned it, particularly pre-COVID with the old interpretations too. And if they're going to run with those in international rugby, you've got to look at that and think, well, you know, Lachlan will be an absolute beast under those interpretations. So I certainly think he's earned his way, but you know, if he hasn't, he's still only 24, I think, so he's still got plenty more years left.
Yeah, it's about to be a Chiefs thing. Like, apart from Sam Kane, you know, like Marty Holler had Richie McCaw around him, Dwayne Monkley was around him, Michael Jones. It's just you wear I suppose they're all Waikato, but you wear those three colours and you're not in for good luck when you're an open side flanker there.
I think he's got a point of difference about him, though. Like, to get him into the team is his line-out work. Like, there's not many sevens that are as tall as him and have the ability on the ground. I'm thinking from a hooker's point of view. Any more options, the better. And then we've already spoken about his breakdown work. And, you know, Gilly would get him in there and get a bit of size on him because, you know, he probably would need to bulk up a little bit for that international level sort of seven. But there's a couple of areas to his game that the others just don't offer. You know, in terms of his ability in the air, his height, and you know, that consistency around the breakdown. So he's still got to be close to selection thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, front of line out operators, who would be competing with him to be a front of line out operator in a team like that?
Well, look, I'm biased, but Dalton's really powerful and explosive. Like, he's a good line out option as well. I think Sam Kane's done it for a number of years for the All Blacks, but I think he lifts mainly at the back for the Chiefs. But I just don't think someone's being used. Like, he would have a number of takes. Like, the Chiefs use him a lot at the front of the line out there.
Yeah, when Gareth Evans was healthy the Hurricanes, he's probably one of the best at the front of the line out, just his speed off the ground. But unfortunately, he's obviously been injured the last for the season. But yeah, he's pretty good at the front of the line out too.
Tough choice. I suppose Hoskins Satutu was awesome at the very start of the year, but as the year went on, I suppose there were some other guys at eight who also looked pretty strong.
Yeah, Marino obviously at the Highlanders, but Hoss's numbers speak to themselves. The numbers over four games is more than most over eight. So, and you want to talk about a guy who's great at line out. He's one of the, you know, he's right up there in terms of his ability in the air, his speed off the ground. We know he's a power athlete, ball carry, tackle. I think he definitely warrants his selection there, and we know his ability off the back of a scrum. is similar to Artie's. You know, he just holds that ball like it's a tennis ball and rips it out of there and goes. So look, it's a hard one. I mean, the beauty is every position you could go through and probably debate who could be in there. Only one probably isn't debatable is the locking area. Like those two have probably been the standouts, but you've got to find a spot for Will Jordan in the starting team, surely. Like, yeah. The guy's had a season. Like, he leads every attacking stat, pretty much. And his Crusaders teammates nipped onto the wing ahead of him. I'd say he'd have to have the 14 sewn up. That's the only one I'd probably change. He'd definitely have to be in and around there. And I'd have Big Carl in the 23 somewhere. I just think his ability at scrum time, he can change a game with that.
Through the back of the year, there was a bit of that at the Blues, wasn't there? There was some good end-of-game scrummaging going on.
Yeah, it was massive. And look, it's not down to one player, but he's a freak. Like, he's a freak when it comes to scrummaging.
Yeah, we felt the brunt of that that scrum late in our game up at Eden Park. So, yeah, you can't argue with Big Carlito.
Has he just got a big smile on his face going into scrum practice? Is he just one of those guys who just lives for it?
Mate, he almost isn't even interested in it, like, because he's just that good, you know. Like, he's almost just coaching and giving guys, you know, another go. Like, he, because, you know, like, I don't know, he's just, man, it's like when you're a hooker and he's there's just such a big difference. Like, it's just like you almost don't really have to do much. You just hook and it's glorious. I've had him at Harbour, I've had him at the Blues now. It's a great way to...
That's all you guys do in scrums anyway, isn't it?
That's good to say.
Mate, come on, mate. It's because we've marched you, you know, a few penalties and stuff.
Yeah, so what is it? What do you feel when he's there? Like, it's just a solid rock. There's no movement. Like, what is it that you feel when he's right next to you?
No, it's just like he just feels like he can explode out of there at any time, you know. Like, even if he's in a bad position, he finds his way out of there. And obviously for us, off has been going awesome as well. But yeah, it's hard to explain. Such a scrum is such a feel thing, you know. It's like a connection feel thing rather than all technique.
If you haven't been in the front row, you'll never quite understand. Eh? Like, you guys are a special breed, but you guys, you know. No one knows. Like, I'd have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure all the front rowers that are listening are probably like, yep.
Yeah. I don't even know if he probably knows. He's just strong. He just keeps it really simple. It's what makes him so good. He's just like, yeah, push. Yeah, beauty. Like, sweet.
He's got a big ass and big legs on him, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't mind a squat. But he's surprisingly quick over 10. Like, he's rapid over 10 for a big man. He's sort of like Charlie Farnwina a little bit, you know, like that sort of light on their feet.
What about the back line? Obviously, Richie Mwonga at 10, Geordie Barrett at 15. I mean, last year we saw, you know, Mwonga at 10 and the other Barrett at 15. It would be really, really hard to go past having Mwonga at 10 again, considering the way he has just been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's hard to deny how good he's been, but I mean, Bodie's pretty damn good too. Like, aren't we just so blessed to have probably two of the top two, you know, tens in world rugby at the moment? Like, better Fozzie to make the decision than any of us, but yeah, it is hard to deny his form. And I mean, Bodie would have liked to have played probably a little bit more 10 with you boys, Jip, but yeah, he's pretty good as well.
I don't think we can look past how good Bodie looked at 10 when he moved there. Like, Richie, don't get me wrong, I've raved about him. I think he's great and he's definitely the form 10. But with the three games Bodie had at 10, he changed our attack. Massively, just his ability to be flat at the line and you know, holds defenders, his ability to kick and pass, you know, that to stop that, you know, the crossfield kick and then give that bullet pass to Lamborn against the Highlanders, that takes a hell of a lot of skills. So it's a tough decision and one that's...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, just not going to get answered because, you know, that you could start either of them. But probably Richie's probably got the inside running because he's played, you know, 7 games and even before Super, because Bodie obviously had that sabbatical. You know, he's been the form one all year. And he just has that ability to cut teams open, you know, regularly. And he's also, you know, a pretty sharp shooter with the old boot too. So he's, yeah, it's a tough one. I'm going to be biased. Like, I'd probably pick Bodie, but that's just because he's on my team. You know, like, that's just the natural way it is. But I appreciate what Richie's got about his game. Like, when I've played him, you know, he's just as tough to defend and stop.
And big moments, Brad, like some big moments in big games this year. He's just come up with something a little special.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the stuff against you boys down in Christchurch, Chip, some of that stuff is just, yeah, it's freakish. I mean Bodie's got so many years though of just quality first five work for the All Blacks, so it's going to take a fair bit to take that off Bodie as well. But I mean, also at 15 as well, the stock's there, because if you play Richie at 10 and then have Bodie at fullback, then you, I mean, Geordie's playing so good. Obviously, we've got Damien McKenzie, who's clearly class, and we've already mentioned Will Jordan as well. So, man, what a pickle.
Jeez, it's tough, isn't it? Mm. Like, how big can you make an All Black squad?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. It's like, they probably want 45, 50, but they'll probably have to go for 36 or something like that. Depends on how many games there are.
I suppose if they're just internal, what they generally carry, kind of mid-30s for internal games, and about 30 if they go over the Tasman. That's the general, isn't it?
Yeah, 32 probably when they're internal, because normally a hooker and a halfback will get gassed and they'll just call them in when needed.
I think apart from that, it's a pretty good-looking form team from the rugby past. Nani obviously was playing superbly before he got injured. Rico. Jeez, Jeff Rico's been crazy good.
Oh, mate, he's found his spot, I reckon. Like, I'd love to see Anton and him together. I really would. Nani's obviously injured, but I just think, oh, I reckon those two in the midfield would be awesome. The only one thing that surprised me actually about that form 15 is the lack of lock cover. You know, you're asking two big boys in the engine room to go 80. If someone goes down, who's going to cover lock in that team?
Shannon Frizzell would have to slot in from the looks of
maybe,
that.
Maybe. It'd be at a push, you know, like you'd be putting your line out under pressure, especially against a South Africa or, you know, even an RG.
Yeah. If Vi Fifita was in form, he'd be a kind of guy that you could put on a bench there and do that kind of cover, but we haven't seen a lot of Vi in comparison maybe to previous years.
Exactly. And it's a form 15, but I'm just being a train spotter.
Yeah, well, Putty Parkinson from the Highlanders has been pretty good. He's a big boy. He's got a fair bit of height about him. So
his last two games have been his best, I reckon, in terms of his physical prowess and ball in hand. I'm obviously, again, I've come out and been a big fan of Gerard Cowley too early for us as well. So, but form 15, you've got to get those guys in there. You know, with Dalton, it's hard to believe Artie's on the bench. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous team, really. Yeah. Spoilt for choice.
Yeah, that's what Super Rugby Aotearoa has really done, isn't it? Like, everyone has lifted their game.
Yeah, massively. It's it's just like a test match. Like Leon said to us, like, if you guys want to be mainstay All Blacks, this is what it's about. You know, this is test match fever week in, week out, and an expectation to perform. There's no better cauldron to learn and, you know, put your hand up for test match footy than, you know, backing up week after week against, you know, rival teams that you know, there's genuine passion and dislike, obviously, once you're on the field and off the field, it, you know, your mates, but there's a genuine, you know, there's grievances with every, you know, every game, every weekend. There's plenty to prove. There's plenty of build up, videos, past players, you know, like it's been a great competition. Would have been nice to finish with 43,000, but it's still delivered before that.
The concept of North South to me would be a really cool long-term concept. Like, we need this game to not be an exhibition game. We need this game to be like a game of rugby. So let's say that we come out of lockdown on the 26th, right? That will give the teams 2 days to prepare for this game. So it can really be nothing but an exhibition game, which is unfortunate because it would be super cool if it had an origin style prep where you spend a couple of weeks in camp and boom, you're ready to do something big. And then in the future, this could become a thing that would be something that people could hang their hat on, you know?
Oh, I can see where you're coming from, but yeah, like we've spoken about it before. Like, I like the idea of players being able to acknowledge the provincial union that gave them their first crack. I do think it is a one-off fixture. So, you know, like if it was, you know, you look at the calendar year and it's like, okay, if we're going to put it in, where? You know, like to have a camp and to do it properly, where's it going to fit in? And then thirdly, the reason why the NRL origin goes so well is because the international rugby league isn't as strong. So that's its figurehead. That's its biggest, you know, commercial opportunity. It's its biggest ability to promote the game. So you can make time for it. But whereas, you know, in rugby, our international rugby is the you know, the shop window, I suppose, or the figurehead of our game. So, you know, that's why, you know, I agree if we're going to do it properly, but it's just, you know, there's only so many holes, and I think we'd all probably rather another All Black test or more than something that, you know, hasn't got as much history, I suppose, but that's just my thought on where it is.
I'd love to see a series. I'd like to see a month of it. Like, I know that there would be absolutely no room for that other than this year, but imagine how great that would be if you were able to have, by the time you got to the third game, there would be that meaning to it. Suddenly it would have, you know, entrenched itself because people have watched the team, supported the teams. It wasn't just a game that they watched on the weekend. It's a series of games that they've watched in a row. You know, and if you want to get people buy-in, that's what you need to get them into it.
But then you've got to go to where you are from.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to do it, you know, your origin.
I feel like they would change the eligibility rules if it was like that.
Yeah.
For this one off, I think they've done it the right way. Like you say, if it's to be a 3-match series and to carry on, I mean, you'd have to knock off 3 or 4 weeks off whatever domestic comp there was, whatever the Super Rugby is in future, because that's the only way you could fit it in, because there's literally just no space on the calendar for it.
Would people be against that?
Well, I don't know, because there might be space now, because what does Super Rugby look like?
Yep.
We don't know yet. So, like, maybe there is in time. Maybe it's something that for this year and the situation we're in, I just think it's the right fit. One, for get all the best players out there, and then maybe in future we look at something like that. If the calendar that's adjusted, or whatever it looks like. No one knows what 2021 looks like. We don't even know what the rest of the year looks like at this stage. So it's something that I think would be cool to look at, but if it's got to be done well, like you say. Even if there's standalone weekends, maybe, you know, like Origin is standalone in the NRL. I mean, there's many ways you can do it.
Let's say we are, we're doing what we're doing right now. And let's say we come out of lockdown on the 26th and teams have 2 days prep. Brad, what does 2 days prep for a game look like? How do you organize a team for a game in 2 days?
I wonder if they could do that. I mean, what do you think, Jib, like having no contact and then going straight into a game would be a little bit dangerous, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. Like, if you look at the Barbas, they do it. It's pretty low key, and then those teams sort of do perform. I think with one-off fixtures, it'll be simple game plans. It'll be rugby in its purest form, I'd say. It'd be whoever wins the collision areas. You know, your lineouts would probably be very simple, and your strikes. You know, I'm not much of a back strike designer, but I can't imagine they could come up with too much in a few days. So, and you don't know how teams are going to defend. You'll know individuals, but you don't know what, you know, like when you play the Hurricanes, you know they're going to rush. When you play the Chiefs, you know that they might drift a little bit more, you know, because of footage. But, you know, it's sort of blank canvas. So it will be almost like a pickup game in a reserve somewhere, you know, in the sense. But it'll be rugby in its purest form, which could be a great spectacle, especially if you're fighting for a black jersey.
Well, and there was contingency plans too, wasn't there, to have the game in Wellington?
Yeah.
So every player outside of Auckland would be able to meet and train for that week. It'd just be, I suppose, the Auckland guys wouldn't be able to come in until later on in that week.
So I think that'd be about 30 players.
We get Roger Hoodie Bars at Shaq talk because he's coming to Union, it seems, every second year, don't we? Is he going to go to the Blues? Is he going to do whatever? If he came to the Blues, Jip, what position would you put Roger Hoodie Bars at Shaq in?
Well, he'd be fullback wing. Probably have to start in wing to find his feet. And then hopefully, I'd say, with his counter-attack ability and his work under the high ball. But some of those spiral bombs lately has been letting drop for the Warriors, because it's almost more beneficial in league to not go for it at the moment. Classic league chat. But yeah, he'd probably have to start on the wing to find his feet and then move back to fullback. Don't know, be a tough transition to be in the midfield. Doesn't suit him either.
Yeah, a lot of guys, it's only really been outside backs that can sort of transition from league to Union. I mean, most guys probably need a year of Mitre 10 Cup, really, to get real good. Even though I know Rogers had a lot of time when he was here at school, but because Duffman was similar, right? So
it took him about a year to get back into the groove. And once he got the groove, he was sweet, but...
Exactly,
Even when he went from wing to fullback, it's just it's so different to league.
Yeah,
it's just different. But by all accounts, he's addressed the Warriors and said it's a non story. So, but I don't think. Oh, it'd be pretty good. Like, I think he'd go pretty well, but I think it would take time.
What about the midfield? I mean, he's obviously got great feet. He takes to the line pretty well. He spends a bit of time at first receiver, so he can obviously catch and pass. Would there be a spot from there?
I think that's like two of the hardest positions in 12 and 13, you know, especially defensively and your ability to distribute and kick under pressure. You know, also your game understanding and awareness to communicate to the first five, because it's not always the first five running things. It's his voice and ears outside him. I think that'd be a massive to one, cross codes, and then to think about going in midfield, maybe in time, you know, 4 or 5 years down the track. But, you know, you even look at Reeks, his transition to the midfield, I think 2 years ago, he had a crack, and it's not easy. And, you know, then he's finally worked his way back there now with better game understanding, and he's going great guns. But that's someone who's a freak of nature of the rugby version, and it's taken him a bit of time as well.
It'd be a ballsy play if you did. I mean, obviously he said he's not doing it. If you did do it as a ballsy play, because like we're just talking about, like the backs, you obviously know certainty of making the All Blacks. That's for sure. When you look at the backs around the place, and you're not necessarily certain of even making the Blues team. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big dice to roll if you were to do something like that.
It's a huge pay cut too.
Big pay cut.
It's a massive pay. I don't know. Like, I don't know firsthand. I'm just going based off that NRL 360 show, where, who was it? One of the players was interviewed on that, and he said that Tohu Harris, said that Roger said it was a non-story. So I don't know. That might be just smoke and mirrors. But yeah, it's a ballsy. It would be a ballsy thing financially. But I don't know. Does he have a desire to wear the All Black jersey? You know, sometimes it's not just about money. It's an opportunity to, you know, wear that jersey, which is so strong as a brand everywhere.
Well, particularly because there's talk that they might have to be based out of Australia next year, the Warriors. So, and I saw he was saying that he's got a little child at home, and you know, when he left, she was 6 or 7 months, and when he's going back, you know, she'll be sort of 10 or 11 months old. So it's a big sacrifice for someone like that to make. So you can understand the reasoning why wanting to stay in Auckland when it comes to family.
Yeah, because I was listening to another podcast, and Cooper Johns was saying that Melbourne Storm might be based in Sunshine Coast, even like over Christmas until pre-season and stuff. If it continues, they might not be going back to Victoria or Melbourne, certainly not in the foreseeable future. So whether we're different, because obviously Victoria is under the pump at the moment, maybe coming back to New Zealand for Christmas, that might be possible. But it's definitely, they're making plans for teams to be certainly not based at home, or going back into dangerous hot spots, I suppose.
It's a tough gig, isn't it? Because you, if you do come back, then you're in isolation for 2 weeks. And then when you eventually go back, you're probably in isolation again for 2 more weeks over there. Plus, you're in a bubble. I mean, life doesn't sound great, you know, bumping back and forth, does it?
No, but I don't think it's great for a lot of people in work at the moment. It's no different to any job, really, is it? It's uncertain times, and everyone's sort of just got to make do with what you can. And I think that's the attitude. Like, the Warriors have been exceptional, you know, in terms of they abide by the rules, they're away from home, they're fighting, man. The ticker they're showing on the field's outstanding. It's good to watch, you know, even against the Panthers on the weekend, top of the table, and, you know, they nearly snuck home. So it's all against them. And you know, there's other Aussie sides that are living at home, making more blues, you know, more stuff ups than the Warriors that, you know, are based away from home 24/7.
Thank you for joining us on the Aotearoa NRL podcast. this week.
You give me an inch, you give me an inch, I'm in.
Speaking of Aussie, there's been chat, if we do go to a 10-team comp next year, of the possibility that Kiwis could enter into a draft to fill out the 5 Aussie teams, because we've proven in the past that the Aussies don't really have, you know, good enough depth for 5 teams, and that's why the 4s got cut in the first place. What do you make of that?
It's great for any young player in the prospect of being able to still play Super Rugby. I mean, I would have loved to have, as a really young fellow, gone and played in a place in Aussie. But you just wonder, like, because what happens when, what if there's like a player that's eligible for Australia, it's been living in New Zealand, like a sort of like a Tongan Thor type setup, and then goes over and you know, plays one, meant to play one season, and then is lost to New Zealand forever potentially. Like, there's a lot of things that would have to be ironed out from our end to let that happen. But in terms of some young players, I think it would be good for them to have that experience. It's just you got your conspiracy hat on as well, and you sort of think, well, you know, is there something a little bit juicy behind this from Aussie's point of view, where they're trying to potentially nick a few players?
You've got to look at it as well, like maybe it could be a loan system rather than a draft, because I think if the draft, like Brad's saying, you're then contracted to there, there's not a lot of motivation to come home because your financial security's with that team, and if you go well, they're probably going to put a contract in front of you, and if you're third or fourth in line over here, you know, you just look at the injury toll of this current crop. Like, we've had guys and every team just coming in, and it's the thankfully the luxury of our, you know, the skill set that we've got throughout our country, that we can call on guys, bring in, and they don't look out of place in super teams. You lose that, you know, that depth, that also the ability of, you know, senior guys in our New Zealand game nurturing that talent. You know, it's a risk, but look, speaking from a guy that I went to the Force when I was 22 for a preseason, just purely because I wanted an opportunity. I wouldn't want to cut it. I wouldn't want to say it's a bad idea. I think it'd be a great idea for a young guy that's craving an opportunity. And then if your desire and your passion to play for a team back here is strong enough, you probably will end up coming back. So you've got to sort of back that.
If you're going to make it a loan system, what do you maybe add 5 more players to each Super Rugby team squad here and then loan them out from those Super Rugby squads? Because they'd need to have an NZR contract, wouldn't they, in order to get loaned out?
I'd see it more, you'd just get an NZR draft contract, and then that's how you'd enter their draft system. So I think there's still a draft anyway for our super teams. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. And then I'd say and then out of that, they may, the Aussies may say, okay, we want to look at these 15, and then they put them on a draft contract, or I'm sure there's ways around it. But then you just, it's getting niggly. The easier way is to trust that they'll want to come back and look, if they go really well and want to represent the Wallabies, that's not bad for the world game either.
I think guys like maybe Mitch Jacobson, guys like that who've until now gone to the Sunwolves and places like that, because the Sunwolves essentially played that part, hasn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. And Jamie Booth was the same. He was at the Sunwolves last year. He's been going for the Hurricanes. So there is clearly value in it. You just got to, you got to try and make sure that they do eventually come back, I guess. I suppose around, what if we've loaned them out and then all of a sudden we have another locking crisis and three of the next cabs off the rank are over in Australia. Can we call them back? There'll be a lot of things to iron out, but clearly getting experience at a higher level has value for an individual player. So that part of it's hard to deny.
Especially for guys who are maybe Mitre 10 Cup players who don't, survive off that Mitre 10 Cup income and maybe have to do that for a year or pick up some supplementary work here or there. That kind of system would help them get the security they need in order to survive, right?
Some guys are going over to that Major League Rugby in the States at the moment. They're essentially doing that instead. So, would you rather them playing in the MLR or playing Super Rugby? You'd probably rather them playing Super Rugby, wouldn't you?
Totally. Although this MLR sounds like fun.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
I'll be keeping an eye on that one in the future.
You've just signed another 15 years, haven't you, Tamalolo?
You guys keeping the eye on the Northern Hemisphere footy this week?
Yeah, I watched the Quinn Sale game just because Joey Marchant was in it. So I just wanted to see how he went. Oh, tough watch, if I'm honest. It was wet weather. So they went in threes and you could tell they'd come out of lockdown, like they're trying to chuck the ball down. There's quite a few errors early on. But I think they'll get better as time goes on. But the other thing I picked up is a few cards for the Kiwi boys. I think Milani got a red.
Oh, yeah,
that, yeah. Lima got a yellow. Muller got a yellow. Who else? Someone else. There's another one. Oh, Jordy Taufua got a yellow. I was like, the Kiwi boys have come out of lockdown fired up for some reason. I just think similar, like the intent was there. The weather didn't really play its part in a few of the games, but there's some high scoring other ones that I didn't run my over. It'll just get better and better, I'd say. There was definitely plenty of excitement and want to play, like they're throwing the ball around, especially early on.
See, it's summertime over in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it was wet at the Queens game. I didn't catch all of the games, but there were some high scoring ones. I think Wasp Northampton was high scoring. Obviously, once Milani got red carded, the Worcester Warriors struggled against Gloucestershire, but Dolph's team, Stephen Latour's team, had a tight win against Saracens, 16-12, so they were happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Exeter Chiefs just carried on their way. But I think Wasp forms are interesting because heaps of Kiwi guys are that, so I always take interest in them. But, four wins in a row with bonus points, I think, after the weekend. So they're coming into the right form. I think they've slipped up to fourth.
That's good.
Plenty going on in the Northern Hemisphere, lads.
That Bristol team looks pretty epic, actually. It's full of Kiwi lads. I'm not sure if you caught it. John R. Ford doing this behind-the-back pass at training. How old is that guy? He must be 40 now, and he's still doing it.
Yeah, I saw him on Insta. That was a hell of a ball. And classic John R. Ford style, keeps running and celebrates like you wouldn't believe. He'll have that on repeat. He'll just be watching that over and over.
It's quite cool. I like the way that Pat Lamb set it up. Like, it's essentially turned into almost the Pacific Island team that we want to get into Super Rugby over here, over in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, they play a great brand of footy, and obviously I've been coached under Pat, so he runs a pretty strict regime. They're going really well. I think they're up, second or third. So the big test for them is obviously the Exeter Chiefs. They seem to be well and truly out the front. And obviously have come second to Saracens over the last few years, so they'll be pretty motivated to get their title.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.